Hello, hello, my friend. It is so good to be here with you today as I am sitting here thinking about all of the goals my husband and I have set for this coming year. Now, who knows if my budget will be able to stand up to all of these dreams and desires, right? But it's still a rush when I get to sit down and think about all of the things that we would like to accomplish this year. It's that rush that brings the excitement for my budgeting plan. It's that rush that keeps me motivated and accountable when using my budget each and every single month. I know that, come to the end of the year, exhaustion, it just tends to overcome that excitement and that rush. But it is so important to set these goals and dreams anyways. I mean, have you ever sat down with your spouse and thought through the things that you want your money to do for you? Have you made a game plan on how you're going to achieve them? Well, that is what we are going to be talking about today. Whether you have $50 left at the end of your paycheck or $2,000, you want to make sure that each dollar has a job, and the best way to do that is by setting goals. So, head to the kitchen, grab a nice warm drink because I don't know where you live, but it is freezing, like currently in the negatives right now as I'm recording. And warm drinks have been my best friend. But I digress. Go grab that warm drink, pop in them headphones, and let's get to it. Hey, friend, welcome to the One Income Family Podcast. Do you live primarily on your husband's income and find it hard to save or get out of debt? Are you constantly searching for ways to cut costs, live frugally, and do things on a budget? Do you have big dreams only to be stopped by overspending and loosely following your budget? Hey, I'm Molly, and I too have struggled with living and growing a family on one income. But through trial and error and a lot of help from God, my family and I have learned how to live abundantly on less. This podcast will bring you a Christ-centered, simple, and frugal lifestyle, along with how to budget so you can follow it, and time management tips that will transform your budget and your home. So go restart that laundry, grab your Bible, and let's get budgeting. So you think budgeting is time-consuming. You think it's difficult and boring. You're a stay-at-home mom who doesn't have the time to sit down and recreate the budget every single month. It's not something you enjoy, and you find you have to drag yourself over to the computer to complete your monthly budget, do the tracking, and pay all them bills. Well, trust me, mama, when I tell you, your budget does not have to look like this. After working with me, you will find that you can complete your budgeting routine in 30 minutes or less after the initial system setup, right? With the hands-off routine that I teach you, you will go from recreating the monthly budget to a budget that needs minimal intervention, has boundaries set in place, and helps keep you on budget and saves you time and brain space so that you can get back to focusing on your family. Shed the stress of trying to figure out this money thing all on your own. Together, we can transform your financial future from something you dread into something that is simple, takes less time, and allows you to stick to your budget without breaking a sweat. Just think of all the things that you could be doing with your money if you were able to stick to your budget, and think of all the things that you could be doing with your family because you aren't having to budget for hours on end. So head on over to calendly.com/MollyBennell. That's calendly.com/MollyBennell, and book your financial strategy session now. Whether you are new to goal setting or whether this is something that you do every single year, goal setting is so important to do. I know that I, at the beginning of my journey, didn't really have goals. I mean, at the end of each paycheck, I'd be like, ooh, I have leftover money. What can I do with that money? And kind of set small-term goals like that, right? But I know now how important they are. And I know that I wouldn't be able to get things done without these goals, right? Because if I didn't set a plan for my money, I would just end up spending it, doing whatever it is that I wanted. Like I said just a little bit ago, that at the end of my paycheck, whatever money was left over, I would just figure out how to spend the rest of it, right? And that's normal. That's what we tend to do. And it's okay. So I don't want you to stress over that. But I do want you to try to maybe change that thinking, that instead of budgeting, using all the money until you have that little bit that's left over, and then going, ooh, what can I do with it? I want you to do it the opposite way around. I want you to actually like make a plan for that money, whether it's putting it into small sinking funds, or you can call it savings buckets, where you just have smaller savings for each thing. And those savings buckets are your goals that you set so that you can reach those goals. I mean, it could be as simple as, you know, paying off your debt or buying a new car. But definitely having those goals will help keep you from spending every single dollar on things that aren't that important. And then you're like, well, what did I do with my money? I spent it on food and now it's gone. So that's what I'm trying to prevent here. So I'm going to go a little bit deeper into why you should set goals, because there are a lot more reasons. And it's just so important, and I want you to see how setting a goal can totally change your thinking when it comes to setting goal or setting your budget and staying to it. So why should you set your goals? Well, first, it keeps you from overspending. It keeps you living in that delayed gratification, because by not spending every single dollar on things that you want right then and there, you are able to save up for the things that you do want, something that's a dream of yours, going on vacation, paying off debt, buying a car, buying a house. You know, there are so many things out there that you can be excited for and you want, and being able to achieve that, especially without having to get a loan, is the greatest feeling in the world. So it's going to teach you how to live in that delayed gratification. And by setting these goals, like I said at the beginning of the episode, you're going to have that rush. You're going to have that excitement, kind of like you do in every single January if you set New Year's resolutions, that's the word I'm looking for. And that rush is going to help catapult you forward, keeping you from overspending, living in that delayed gratification, and it's going to change those spending habits. And so it's so important and so vital that you embrace maybe just one goal this year. If you've never set a financial goal, embrace one. Don't do like over and above all these goals that are going to overwhelm you, and then you're going to feel like you haven't been able to do anything with your money. You want to set smaller goals, especially at the beginning, so that you can feel that rush and that excitement, because that's going to be what catapults you forward. Setting goals, it also helps you stick to your budget, because again, that rush, you're like, oh my gosh, I can get this goal, whatever it may be. And I do that by not spending over my limit, right? I stick to every single dollar amount that I've set in my budget. But it also helps you not just stick to the small individual budgets, but to continue to do the budgeting. I know that can be part, like that can be one of the definitions when it comes to sticking to your budget, not just like going over budget, but just throwing the budget to the curb because you no longer want to do it because it's difficult and it's not what you thought it was going to be. You thought you'd be able to follow it and do what it says, but you're just like, no, I'm just kicking this to the curb because it's too hard. I know, I've done it. You know, that's when our emotions get the best of us, right? But when you have those financial goals, it helps you continue to work on refining your budget so that it is something that you are able to stick to, so that it is something that you don't throw to the curb and you follow it and try to make it better and make it work for you instead of you working for it, because that is the goal with the budget. We're not trying to make you like go into this tiny little box and stick and stay inside of that box. Instead, we're trying to mold and conform the Play-Doh. Can you tell I've got kids? the Play-Doh into a shape that fits your life. And that's what we are looking for. And by setting these goals, it helps you to really have that motivation to stay on course and to mold your Play-Doh into the shape that, like I said, it fits your family. So I've said that it helps keep you on budget. It can help you change your spending habits. And it's just, it's an ongoing thing that is live, and it just helps catapult your finances to a place that you never would have thought. I mean, goals can get you from point A to point B, and you can achieve, you know, the actual physical thing that you are reaching for, but they change so much more on the inside. Like I said, it's the motivation to keep going. It's the ability to not live in that instant gratification, but changing your spending habits to living in that delayed gratification so that you can reach that goal. It's the ability to prevent the lifestyle creep because you aren't living at the edges, like the very edges of your finances, and having everything spent either in loans or on bills or on subscriptions. Because when you are living that tight, that can be rough and it's no fun, because that's when you have to force yourself to be in that tiny little box, and that's not where we want you to be. So I just really want you to understand how important a goal is and how much change it can give you if you just embrace it. So take one goal at a time if you're new to it. If you're not, you know, do as many as you think is possible, but be okay if you don't reach them all, because, you know, you never know what's going to happen throughout the year. So definitely make them priorities, like list them in priorities if you're going to set more than one goal, so that you can achieve that goal, achieve some of the goals so that you don't feel super downhearted. That's what I'm trying to say. Okay. So, when you go to set a goal, if you have not set a goal before, I still want you to review the things that you've done in the past. But if you have set goals before, you need to be looking at your past goals. Like, did you achieve them? Did you need something to help keep you going? Like, do you need to set smaller goals, like little interval goals every 3 quarters to achieve? Do you need to create celebrations because you have a super long goal, like paying off debt or saving up for a house? You know, those can take a while. They can take a few years maybe. And setting those small celebrations in between that keep you excited and keep the rush going is going to help keep you going forward with your goal instead of throwing it to the curb, because that is so simple to do when it takes longer than like 3 months. Then we get downhearted, right? And we don't want that to happen. So when you start setting these goals, you need to look at what happened last year. Did you reach the goals? Did you not reach the goals? Were you, like, what was the motivation behind it? Were you able to continue to stay excited about it? Or was it something that just kind of fizzled out and you're just like, oh yeah, I did that, but it's not that cool anymore kind of thing? Did you change your mind halfway through? If you haven't set goals in the past, think about the things that you want to do. Think about what you've done in the past and what you were able to do. Think about the things that you were able to achieve with your money. Did it excite you? Or was it something like where you spent all your money on food and you feel like you have nothing to show for it? Like, think about those things that really motivate you and get you excited, and set goals that are going to push you forward to achieve them instead of something like buying more food. Like my husband, he has an obsession with going out to eat. He just loves that. But if we just let him buy all the food that he wanted, he wouldn't be able to sit down and go, well, I did all this awesome stuff with my money this year. Instead, he'd be like, I just wasted all my money. I wasted it on food. I do love food and it's gives me joy in the moment, but in the long term, it's not something that's going to keep you excited. It's not something that's going to make you feel like you did something with your money, right? And that's what we want you to have, that feeling that your money is working for you and it's actually making you feel like you have a better life. That's not really the right way to say it, because I don't want you to get the thought that money is what makes your life great. But I do know that if you don't have that sense of accomplishment with your finances, then you're going to desire more income. And usually the case is not the fact that you need more income, but more the fact that you need to take some of the things out that you are spending, because the things that you are buying every single month or every single year, they're not giving you that sense of accomplishment. They're not giving you that sense of, I did something good with my money. I was able to do, like, go on vacation because I really wanted to do that. I was able to fix up my house because it really needed painting, or, you know, something of that sort, which gives you that sense of accomplishment and excitement. And if you don't have that, then you're going to want and desire more income, and you're not going to live in abundance, but rather you're going to live in that poverty mindset. And that's not where I want you to be. So think about the things that you've done. Think about that sense of accomplishment that's really going to help catapult you forward. That's going to help, you know, really start yourself fresh every single year and give you that desire to continue with what you're doing instead of throwing it away. Okay, so then after you've reviewed what you've done in the past, I want you to set your goals. I want you to think about the things that excite you. Think about the things that you want to get done. Think about, you know, the things around your house that maybe you would like to fix up. Maybe you want to go on vacation. But before those things, you need to think about the debt. Like, do you have so much debt that you have no money to save up for those fun things that you enjoy? And if that's the case, focus on that, and maybe not all of it, because I still want you to live. I still want you to have a joyful life and have that sense of accomplishment, because paying down debt can really be a long journey depending on how much you have. So definitely figure out, like, how much do you want to throw at debt every single month? How much can you? And then what can you save up for that's a little fun? Maybe it's not this big, huge vacation that you'd always dreamed of going, like on a cruise ship or overseas or something like that, but you can still do small vacations that don't cost that much that are around your area. Maybe you go camping. Maybe you go to a bigger city if you're like me and live in a rural area, and you go shopping for some clothes or something like that. But you can still have those small celebrations and senses of accomplishment. It just is on a smaller scale, right? So think about the things that excite you, what you want to get done, the things that you need to accomplish, like the yearly bills that need to be set, which that shouldn't be part of your goals, but it will be part of your buckets, your savings buckets, or your sinking funds, because that is going to take out of extra leftover, which I air quote that leftover money, that goes towards the goals and everything, because it is something that you have to save up for. But definitely set your goals, write them down, put them in priority, like a list of what you want done first, second, third, fourth kind of thing, and then go from there. But when you do think about it, I also want you to think about your time, not just your finances. Like, do you have the time to do it? Is this a realistic goal that's going to get done, or just a dream pipe? And that's okay to have those dreams that are like really in the future kind of thing, but don't set them right now as a really big, like set a step in that direction instead of the really big goal. Because if you try to reach these goals that are way out of your reach, that's going to fizzle out your desire to push you forward. It's going to fizzle out your motivation. It's going to fizzle out that rush and excitement. And you're just going to throw it to the curb, and you're going to end up spending that money on things that don't give you a sense of accomplishment. And you're going to continue living in that poor poor person mindset, and I don't want you to live in that poverty mindset, because it's not a fun place to be. I've been there. I know you're either living there or you've been there and you know what I'm talking about, but I want to help you get out of that. And by setting these goals, it's going to help you change your spending habits, and it's going to help you continue to stick to your budget, because you're going to have that excitement attached to it. Okay. So some goals that I want you to consider when you are setting your goals is, do you have an emergency fund? I know if you follow Dave Ramsey, he says to have $1,000. I prefer having $2,000 because, you know, prices have gone up a lot here lately, and I just feel safer having that $2,000. You know, whatever makes you feel safe. If you want to do $1,000 and then move on to the next goal, have at it. But definitely save up at least $1,000. I suggest $2,000, like I said, just because prices have gone up. But, you know, just do what makes you feel comfortable and what makes you feel like if an emergency happens, you can take care of it. Then I want you to think about paying off your debt or paying down your debt. You know, maybe it's not, maybe you have so much debt that you can't just pay the whole thing off, but you can pay down a certain number. And setting that certain number would be a great thing to do. The next one that I want you to think about doing, if you've already done the first two, because these are definitely set up in list of priority already. So I don't want you to just pick one and then not get it, because paying off debt and throwing all that money away without having that emergency fund means that you have no, air quote, leftover income to compensate for those emergencies. And so then you're like, oh my gosh, what am I going to do when they happen? So you want that emergency fund before you decide to throw every single leftover dollar you have towards your debt, if that's what your goal is, right? So then do the emergency fund, then focus on paying down your debt, then jump into creating a large emergency fund of 3 to 6 months income. Yes, this comes from Dave Ramsey. I'm not like making this up myself, but I do think that that is important, because if you get laid off because of a situation like COVID, if something like that happens again, then you have that money, that backup money to be able to pay for those groceries. Now, if something like that does happen, I want you to also think about the fact that you should probably get rid of all the extra unnecessary expenses and only focus on the needs during that time, so you don't just spend all that money willy-nilly and you won't have that leftover amount kind of thing, which maybe I should do an episode on that in the future. But definitely start saving up that 3 to 6 months worth of income so that you can handle those situations. Retirement, this is something that a lot of people don't think about, especially at a young age. And it's something that is super important. There is something, and I can't think of the actual number, but you can figure out like your retirement number essentially, which is how much money you need saved up so that you can live the way you are living right now when you retire, and depending on how long you think your lifespan's gonna be kind of thing, which is kind of a morbid thought, I know. But it's something that you want to think about, because if you don't have enough money saved up, you can have to continue to work and not like retire. And it just depends on what you want to do. I know my father, he retired at 62, but he kept working, and he also has Social Security, right? But I mean, there's that hearsay these days where who knows if there's going to be enough Social Security by the time we get to that age. And I don't want to chance it. I want to know that I'm going to have enough money to live if I want to retire and not have to work. I know I do enjoy working, so who knows by at that point if I will want to continue working or not. But there will be a point where I won't be able to continue to work. But that's why it's so important to figure out like what your retirement number is. I know that when I first was looking at it, in order to live at the dollar amount we were, it was like we needed $1 million saved up by then. And now I think because my husband's income has grown, it's up to like 3 million or something like that. And that can be a daunting number, I know that, but thinking about the fact that you need a good portion saved up really helps you decide that you need to go like start saving, like getting a Roth IRA or maybe doing something a little more, putting a little more weight behind it so that you can get a higher interest rate if that's something that interests you. But definitely going and looking into like the retirement options and how you can save up that money and have your money work for you instead of you working for your money is so important. So that is something that you should be looking into. I know, and I'm not exactly sure if this is the exact amount, but I think that Dave Ramsey says to save about 15% of your income and put it into retirement. I'm not quite to that point where I can do that because of all the things that I've got going on in my life, but still being able to put some towards income. I know that we have some going into a Roth IRA. I would like to be putting more in there, but right now it's just not something we can do. And then my husband also is putting money into his IRA with his business or 401k, right? And so we still have money going in there. It's not as much as I'd like it to be, but it's still fun to watch the numbers move up and down, like as the stocks go up and all that kind of stuff. I know it can be a little nerve-wracking, which maybe I should do an episode on that as well. But it is so good to be thinking about it as a goal. And then the last thing that I want to think about, which I maybe should have put this at the beginning, because this is something you should be doing regardless of if you have like $30,000 coming in or if you have $100,000 plus coming in, you should be focusing on giving and setting up an account. I have an account set up called that I call the giving account. I think that's what I called it. I don't know. That's the point of it though, is that it's there and I'm putting money into it each and every month for situations that arise where I feel the need that people need income or need some of my money to help them through a situation. Maybe they need groceries. Maybe my husband, he went to a bigger city and it's a lot bigger than anywhere we live, right? And there was this little girl and her dad and they were hungry and he's just like, I really just felt like I needed to feed them because they were really poor, right? And didn't have the money to eat kind of thing. And that's what I want this money saved up for so that I'm not feeling like I'm taking away from my income, which I know that's not really a good mindset, but it also allows me to have a place for it so that I'm ready for those situations and I'm not like at the bare bones going, oh my gosh, if I give them that money, then I don't have it. But at the same time, that is when it's best. So I did an episode a couple episodes where I talked about this and how the woman, I wish I had the Bible verse in front of me, but I don't. But the woman who gave to the offering plate the two coins that she had was giving more than anyone else. So even if you have like no income, that's like the best time to be giving because you're going to receive so much in return for everything that you give. And like starting even when you have nothing is the best time to start because it's really going to open yourself up to giving to others and furthering God's kingdom with your finances. And he's going to further your life. He's going to make your life, you know, more joyful. Whether it's through more income, whether it's through, you know, circumstances and getting things that you need. And don't think that it's going to make your life perfect and happy because nobody's life is perfect and happy. But he is going to give you back the things that you give. So definitely start looking into that. Start setting up a way to give to others. Make that a goal. Make that a continuous goal. And maybe it can be your tithing, it can be fundraisers, it can be giving to those in need. I know that somewhere in the Bible. You'll have to find the actual area, because again, I don't have my Bible in front of me. But he says to give, like, not as an afterthought, but as a plan. So set up a plan for those in need. And maybe you want to give to someone like the Good Samaritan, or, you know, pay for some, I can't think of what this is called. I really wish I would have wrote this stuff down. But there's like children over in another country where you can send money to them and it helps them be able to go to school, get water in their communities, you know, that kind of stuff. And it's so awesome. I've been able to do that a few times. I'd like to be able to look for something like that where God is directing me to give in those kind of situations. And so those are some really good things to think about. So I know I kind of went down a rabbit hole with the kinds of goals that you should be looking into on top of, you know, the more fun things that you want to do, like going on vacation, saving up for a house, saving up for a car, those kind of things. But definitely be thinking about all the things that you would like to be doing, plus the things that God is urging you to do. So definitely sit down, pray. You know, that is always what I tell you to do. Pray first, talk to him, let him in and guide you as you are making these decisions, and he will speak to you as to where your money should be going. So I thought it'd be fun to end this episode with what my goals are for this year, which I have a lot, but I'm going to just like give you some ideas as to what my goals are. I know I've already told you that I have that giving set in place. I have an emergency fund set in place. I have a 3 to 6 month income. Well, I did. Now that his incomes went up, I might need to up that amount. I'll have to look into that. Anyways, the 3 to 6 month income. I've got retirement set up. So now I just, because I went into debt again, because I bought a car, that's what my sole focus is right now. So my focus is to pay off this car, and my goal is to have it paid off in 18 months, which is a stretch goal. So 18 to 24 months will be like that exact time frame as to when I'd like to have this car paid off, but I'm going for that 18 month number, right? So then on top of that, I also have house projects that need to be finished. I need to finish because I've started them and then I got pregnant and yeah, they just kind of stopped. So I have a blue and red kitchen cabinets because I didn't get them finished painted. I have trim that needs to be caulked and painted. I have my closet needs to be finished. There are so many things that need to be finished in my house. It's not even funny. So I have a goal of finishing those projects. Then we need to remodel the porch because it's starting to pull off of the house and the foundation is cracking and it's not very good. So we have to reinforce that foundation, which is going to be fun. We also need to get gutters and soffit and fascia because we're putting up metal soffit and fascia to help seal up the house because we have so many flies. It's ridiculous. Like when people say they have a lot of flies and there's like 10 flying around their house and they're chasing it with a fly swatter, that's nothing. That is nothing. I wish I had that. No, I have flies where I come up to my office, I vacuum the floor because every square inch has about 10 flies in it. Or square foot has about 10 flies in it. And it is gross and it needs to be sealed up completely. And I've been working on it and I'm like, well, maybe it's this. Well, maybe it's this. We got the outside of the house painted, but now we got to finish the soffit and fascia to seal up the holes because birds can even get inside the house. It's not fun. So we got to finish that, right? But yeah, that's another goal of mine. I'd like to get chickens this year. I have a goal of getting my garden going, which isn't as big of a financial burden as it was last year because last year was the first year. So that is nice. But those are some fun things that we'd really like to do. We'd like to maybe go camping, which means we have to buy a tent because usually we borrow someone's camper, but I don't think we'd be able to do that this year, so we might have to do it the tent style, which is fine. You know, I've done both. It's still fun to do. But yeah, so those are some of my goals for the year. I could continue going. I have so many goals and ideas and excitement, but like I said, I have to put them in a list of priority because otherwise I'm not going to achieve or accomplish anything and my excitement is going to fizzle out. It's also going to prevent me from being able to do a lot of things. And the reason the debt is like my biggest priority is because as soon as I get that debt paid off, then all that money that was going towards it, I can put into my other goals and achieve them a lot faster. So if I don't have that extra income going towards paying off a car, then I don't have to worry maybe about taking 10 years to save up for that vacation or to save up for finishing the projects around the house. We'll be able to do it in a lot shorter of time frame, right? Okay, so before I just keep talking your ear off and you're like, okay, it's time to tune out, I'm done with this. I really want you to understand the importance of setting goals and the excitement that comes with it. And the fact that these goals are going to be something that you're going to have to think about every single year. And it can be daunting to try to do by yourself. So I also want you to know that you don't have to do this alone. If this sounds like something you would like to do, like you'd like to set goals and you've never done it before, or you've set goals before and you were never able to achieve them, this is something that I can help you with. I can help you set up these goals to like actually achieve them. I can help you figure out goals, not that I want you to do, goals that you want to do and shape them to form your life. It's not something that's like here's a spreadsheet, you got to fill it out kind of thing and you're done. No, there's a lot more thought and heart that goes into it when you set up these goals. And we're not going to do it like by ourselves. We will do it with God by our sides as well, so that you are furthering the kingdom with the things that you do. You are stewarding your family well. You are stewarding God's desires and the things that he has for your family well. And it's not you trying to do it by yourself. So if this sounds like something that you would like to learn more about, I have what is called a clarity call, and it's free, and it is where we get on a call together and you learn more about what it is that I do, and more specifically, what I can do for you, how I can help you form your budget, how I can help you set these goals to fit into your budget, to fit into your lifestyle, to bring you joy and a sense of accomplishment instead of that, you know, instant gratification feeling where everything just kind of goes down the drain because we are living so tight and in that poverty mindset. I want to help you get out of that poverty mindset. I want to help you set goals that are going to help you feel like you are making a huge accomplishment with your money, that you're actually doing something with your money. And it's not just like, you're not just throwing it out the window, right? So definitely, if this sounds like something that you are interested in or that you would like to learn more about, go grab a free clarity call. You can go over to calendly.com/Molly Bunnell. That's calendly.com/Molly Bunnell. And go and see if this is something that you've been looking for, because I know, I just know that your life can be so much better if you are able to get your finances under control and working for you instead of you working for them. So go grab a call and let's get your finances transformed and working for you. Hey friend, I hope you enjoyed today's episode and I pray that it inspired you into action. If so, would you take 30 seconds and share it with that friend who also lives on one income and wants to learn how to live abundantly on less? Also, please leave a quick review for the show. It lights me up to know this podcast is helping you, and it helps get the show out there to other mamas in need. All right, well, it's time to go play with the babies, so I will meet you back here on Tuesday for another episode. Peace and chicken grease, mama.